Keeping those two things in the back of our mind.
Hallie, earlier in the week, if you're able to stand, we're going to read Revelation 4.
We're
talking about her
11.
Singing, and she
Revelation
had mentioned chapter number 4,
because she had to do a part where she sang
by herself.
Verse
number 11.
I said, "Welcome to
Brother
the club."
Mentioned this verse this morning in his message.
Let's take your Bibles.
Let's actually
no,
begin with
let's
verse
do that.
Number
let's
10.
Let's have a sword.
Verse
here.
Number
let's
10 of Revelation chapter number
and
4.
And I will,
the Bible says,
like pastor, but we're just going to throw
the 4 and 20 elders fall down before him that
it's going to be cherry.
So if you don't like cherry, you don't have to
and worship him that
the way this works, we say
ever.
Swords up
and cast their
might
crowns
be good practice
before
since we're going
the
to camp,
throne,
saying,
so you hold your Bible,
thou art worthy, O Lord,
elbows straight,
to receive glory
bent,
and honor
high up in the
and
air.
Power.
I'm going to call the book of the Bible
for thou
a chapter
hast
and
created
a verse.
All things.
The first person to stand
and for
and
thy
read
pleasure,
it,
they are and
we'll get
were
a cherry
created.
Garden.
But be careful.
Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its teaching, its guidance in our life. Lord, we thank you for providing a way to heaven from here. And Lord, not only that, but providing us instruction on how to live here until we get to heaven. And Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would understand that you deserve all the glory and honor and praise. And Lord, with all of our being, with all of our might, with all that we can, I pray that we would do our best to glorify you each and every day of our life. Help us now as we open your word and study what you have to say for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So to open, I want to turn back to Genesis chapter number 1. Similar to what Brother Aaron did. Genesis chapter number 1, and quickly, if you'd allow me just a moment, I would like to read Genesis 1, the entire book of the Bible. You following along. And when I pause, you say the next word. Let's begin in Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth," and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth." And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. You're doing good. Verse 24, "And God said, 'Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Keeping all that in mind, I know it was rather lengthy, but keeping all that in mind, turn back and let's read Revelation 4:11 again. I think it may help us to reflect on the 6 days of creation and all that God did in those 6 days, of course, resting on the seventh. But sometimes we can just go right along and agree with the 6 days of creation and may miss out specific details or parts. So let's read verse 11 again, placing the emphasis where it is to be placed. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all the things that we just read, all the things that were contained in Genesis 1. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So if you were to be asked, what is the chief end of man, or what is the main goal in a Christian's life, or what is the purpose of a vapor of life? I believe the answer is to glorify God. So the title of this message is Glorifying God. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. If we take the word glory, other words that have a similar meaning would be to praise or to worship or to give honor. So we have a couple illustrations here. So say if when we left, my daughter Hallie, on the way out, people were exiting the door, and she was holding the door and greeting people as they were leaving. Some people might come up to me the next time they saw me and commend me or my wife for doing a good job raising my daughter. She's doing something kind, helping others, holding the door. But really, it's not in my strength. It's not in my ability. What I must do, if it's given to me, is pass it on and point to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because it all goes to Him. He's the one to be honored. He's the one to be glorified. He's the one to be worshipped and praised. We are just simply vessels or recipients of His blessings that we can pass on to our children. So me passing that on, and we have all made something at some point in our life thinking of the idea of glorifying God. It was just this morning when we got home after church. Riley had made something in Sunday school. Now, she had the help of her Sunday school teachers, or it might have been junior church, but she made something this morning. She colored it, and she presented it to me. She made one for me and one for Beth. And she was so proud of it. She couldn't wait to give it to us. And she gave it to us, and I told her how much I loved it and thanked her for it. And she said, it's because I love you. Now, there were a couple options that I could have done there. And with this illustration, I want you to get something in mind. If she had given this to me, she made it with her own hands and with me in mind and her love behind it. That was her motive to give to me. And when she gave it to me, all I simply did was kind of worship or praise or honor what she gave me, enjoying what she created or what she made, rather than who made it or who created it. It would have been a false hope or a false pretense. Rather, what I did was praise her or honor her for the idea, the thought, and the love that was behind it to giving it to me. And there's so many times that people will worship or honor or praise the creation that God has made rather than the Creator. Whether it be you love nature and you like going on hikes and how beautiful it is, or whether it be some famous basketball player or whoever it is, God's created it all. He's given them the strengths and abilities and the talents that they have to pursue whatever goals they have in life. It all needs to point back to God. But sometimes people get it mixed up and they worship, praise, and honor and glorify the creation rather than the Creator. So I ask you, how would you feel if you made something or did something for somebody else and rather than them thanking you, they thank somebody else? Doesn't really make much sense, but to kind of put it in perspective, keeping in mind the ultimate goal of a Christian life, or the reason, the main reason we're here, is to glorify God. Now, there are many different avenues, many different ways in the life that we can glorify God, and we'll look at some a little bit later. But how do you think God feels when He doesn't get the glory He deserves from something? Whether He's blessed you financially or physically or whatever the case may be, sometimes we can kind of take the credit into our own hands and think it's because of something that we did or some prayer that we prayed. But it all needs to point to God. God receiving the glory, the honor, the praise, and the worship that He deserves. So turn to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. You see, God has given each and every one of us two proofs of His existence. Romans chapter number 1. Coincidentally, they both start with a C. Romans chapter number 1, look at verse number 18. Romans chapter number 1, verse 18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them." The first proof that He's given us is our conscience. He's instilled in each and every one of us to know, He's manifested in each and every one of us to know that God does exist. Even to the atheists who with their whole heart, with all of their being, would try to deny the existence of God, deep down, manifested inside of them, God has placed the proof of His existence. Reading on, "For God hath showed it unto them." Verse 20, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." There's the second. First, we have conscience. Second, creation. The creation proves there's a Creator, proves that God exists. "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." When the day comes that each and every person stands before God, they will be without excuse. There's nothing that they can say that will be able to change God's mind. If they didn't accept Christ as their personal Savior while they lived here on earth, they're going to hell. They're without excuse. Verse 21, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God." They didn't give God the glory. "Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." They did not give God the glory while they were here on creation, on God's creation. And you'll run into people, whether you're out soul winning or at the workplace or wherever you are, you'll run into people who don't believe that God exists. The most mind-boggling thing that I can think of is that there would be an atheist. How that they could look out their window or as they drive down the road, look at the trees, the birds, the bees, the sun, moon, and stars, and think that there's not a Creator. But I would liken it to this illustration. I may have shared it before, but I believe in Sunday school. My Sunday school teacher taught me this, and it's always stuck with me. But to think that we came from a Big Bang or came from nothing would be similarly thinking that if a tornado was to go through a junkyard, that after the tornado passed through, a 747 plane would be put together and standing there ready to fly. It's just unimaginable. You know, if you were to go to a museum or go somewhere where there were paintings all over, and you see a painting, that's proof that there is a painter. Likewise, if you're out walking downtown and you see a building, that's proof that there was a builder. And there's no difference if you're out enjoying nature and you see God's creation, that's proof that there is a creator. There's no denying it. And He is worthy of our glory, of our praise, of our worship and honor. But some people glorify the creation instead of the Creator. Turn to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. A great example of glorifying a creation rather than a Creator. Isaiah 14. We can all have idols in our life, something that is in the place of God. And oftentimes when we think of idol, we think of some wooden figurine or sculpture. But an idol can be anything in our life that has taken the place of God. Anything that is number one in our life where God should be. And some people even glorify themselves. It's all about me, 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 what I can do. Look what I can do, look what I've done. Bragging. The devil himself struggled with pride. Pride, I believe, was his besetting sin or his root sin or maybe where it all began. He was a beautiful angel up in heaven. And I just have a feeling maybe one day that he was leading some singing and looking over a reflection or the glassy sea, and he saw his reflection. He became prideful with how beautiful he was, and it started going to his head. And the devil struggled with it. But Isaiah 14, look at verse number 12. Verse number 12. How art thou fallen down from heaven, O Lucifer? Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, and here we have five I wills, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. The Bible gives us the devil's name here, Lucifer. And he struggled with pride. Pride can be one of two things. Pride can be, look at what I can do, look at me. Or it can be, I could never do that. I'm not good enough. The basis of it all is me, I being in the center of everything. It all revolves around I. And if we take the name of the devil, Lucifer, I think it's no coincidence maybe that his middle letter in his name is I in Lucifer. And so five times we see that he says, I will. You see, he was glorifying himself, I, rather than God. And some other similar words, I think, like Lucifer with I in the middle, all about me. Pride, sin. Oftentimes we sin because we want what we want, what I want, rather than what God wants. Lie. Oftentimes when we tell lies, because we don't want to get in trouble, or we're looking out for our best interest, what I want. Anxiety, I being in the middle. When it's all about us, woe is me. Look what I'm going through. And it's very easy for us, like the devil, to struggle with pride, whether it's boasting up or putting ourselves down. But I want you to turn to Psalm 148. I think this is a great chapter. We're going to read the whole chapter. It's not too long, but Psalm 148. And I want you to notice as I read along, keeping in the back of your mind, glorifying God, we have two decisions. We can be like the devil, and glorify ourselves, what I want to do, what I can do, or we can glorify God, which is why He's created us. And as I read Psalm 148, I want you to note all the times, or all the things that we're to praise. All the times it mentions praise, worship, and glorifying God. Psalm 148, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. This is starting to ring a bell of what we read in Genesis 1. Verse 4, praise Him, ye heavens of heaven, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all his hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Kings of the earth and all people, that includes us, princes and all judges of earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all the saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. So what are some ways that we can praise the Lord? We can honor the Lord. We can worship or we can glorify God. Some ways may be harder than others. Some ways other people could glorify him in specific ways that we might not be able to. Every once in a while, I'll bring Hallie with me to work. And I did it just this past week, and I knew she was going to be singing the special tonight. And so we came here in the sanctuary, and we had a little talk. And I began to ask her, where do you typically stand when you're going to sing during church service? And she ran up here on top of the steps and stood and showed me where she normally stands. And then I began to ask her, well, when you're up here singing, who are you singing to? And she said, like any child would say, the people sitting out in the seats. I said, well, yeah, but that's not really the main goal of why you're up here. That's not really the real purpose why you're up here. And though that is very hard to do, I can testify personally, leading music, it is hard to kind of lose yourself and remember that you're to sing to an audience of one rather than to the audience in the green chairs. And it is a struggle. But we began to talk about you're really singing to God. That's who your heart should be in tune with as you sing the words, thinking about what you're singing, singing it from your heart to God, that he would receive the glory, the honor, the praise, the worship, and all that is due his name. So, let me read. We won't turn to all these, and you may jot them down if you have a notepad and a pen. I encourage you to write these references down. But let me give you a few ways in which that we can glorify God. Glorify God with our body, with our mind, with our soul, with our spirit, with our mouth, with our eyes, ears, and nose, in all that we do, glorifying God. Matthew 15, 29 through 31. Matthew 15, 29 through 31. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh into the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet. And he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. We can glorify God through his works and miracles. Yeah, we can read God's word and read about all that he did in his earthly ministry, but God is still working just as much in our own lives today, though we can't physically see him with our eyes. So each and every victory that you have, each and every work that he's performed and miracle he's performed in your life, you can glorify God through it. Secondly, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20, a more familiar portion of Scripture. The Bible says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Secondly, we can glorify God with our body and spirit. You're doing a great job. Hang with me. We're going somewhere. John 15, 7 through 8. If you have a pen, I encourage you to write these down. John 15, 7 through 8. The Bible says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit,
so shall ye be my disciples. Thirdly, we can glorify God by abiding in Him, bearing fruit, and simple obedience. Fourthly, 1 Peter 2:11-12, the Bible says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that, whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." Fourthly, we can glorify God with our works. As we're obedient to Him, and our faith brings about works, and we're producing fruit, our works will glorify God. Fifthly, 1 Peter 4:10-11. "As every man hath received the gift," it's talking about spiritual gifts here, "even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." We can glorify God with our spiritual gifts. And as I mentioned earlier, we may be able to glorify God in a certain way that others can't to a degree. God, through the Holy Spirit, has given us specific spiritual gifts to each and every person. One person over here might have a certain spiritual gift that the other person over here may not have. 1 Peter 4:14, "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified." We can glorify God when we are reproached. 1 Peter 4:16, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf," glorifying God through our suffering. John 21:19, "This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God," speaking of Peter. "And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me." As strange and as odd as it may seem, we can glorify God through death. Last one, Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We can glorify God by witnessing. Turn to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. I've given you several different ways and avenues in which we can glorify God. We've already discussed that the main goal of a Christian, the reason we're here, is to glorify God. And so if I was to take all those verses that we just read and summarize them into one, I think it would be this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 31. The Bible says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." So he gives us a list of three things here. First, he mentions eating, then he mentions drinking. And if that wasn't enough, then he says, "Whatsoever ye do." That means everything. In all that we do, we can do in a way that glorifies God. The Bible says in Isaiah that the whole earth is full of His glory. We read about the creation account and all that He created. Creating man on the sixth day, He created us to give Him the glory, the honor, the praise, and the worship. We may do it in slightly different ways, and we may have different abilities that allow us to glorify Him in specific ways that may hinder other people. But we're all to glorify God. And so I end with two stories, one fairly short and one maybe a little longer. Most of you have probably heard about Fanny Crosby. You can open the hymnal and find many Fanny Crosby hymns. She was blind for all of her life, but she didn't let her blindness hinder her. She purposed in her heart to glorify God, and she went on to write over 8,000 hymns and spiritual songs. Secondly, the last story we'll share, there was a husband and wife missionaries They were missionaries to the Philippines. And they had a son one day, a baby boy by the name of Tim Tebow. You've probably heard of him. Tim Tebow would grow up and start playing college football. He played for the University of Florida. And in 2009, they went to the national championship. And at the national championship game, he wore these stickers under his eyes. You've probably seen pictures. He wore these stickers under his eyes. They were black, and it helped to keep the sun's reflection, keep the glare out of his eyes. But he had the idea that on these stickers, he would take a silver Sharpie and write John on one of them and 316 on the other one. And they went on to win the national championship in 2009, that very same day that he wore those stickers with John 3:16 on them. And if you Google it today, you can look at it yourself and find out that during that game, 94 million people Googled John 3:16. Now, when I think about that, I think, how do 94 million people not know John 3:16? But there are a lot of people in this world. And during that five-hour football game, 94 million people Googled John 3:16 simply because one man glorified God. You see, God gave him the ability to play on that football team and win the national championship. And he didn't have pride in his heart. It wasn't, look at me and look what I can do. He pointed to God. By writing John 3:16, something so simple, the cameras all over him throughout the football game, people witnessing it by watching television. And he pointed to God and glorified God through his gifts and abilities that God had given him. And so I end with this question. How can you, how can I, or how can we glorify God this week? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for creating us. Lord, we thank you for forming us in our mother's womb. We thank you for giving us life. We thank you for the breath that you give us each and every moment of the day. Lord, we thank you for our health, energy, and strength, the muscles that we have to get up out of bed. Lord, our bones, our lungs, our heart, liver, kidneys, our eyes, our ears, our nose, our mouth. Lord, we thank you for all that you have given us. And Lord, I pray that each and every one of us in here would not use it for our own glory. But Lord, I pray that we would use all that you've given us to point to you, to point others to you. Lord, that you would receive the glory, the honor, the praise, and the worship, all that is due your name. And Lord, when we leave here in a few moments, Lord, I pray that we wouldn't forget this. Lord, may this number one goal of a Christian be on the forefront of our mind day after day. Lord, as we wake each morning, may it be the first thought that pops into our brain. Lord, may we study and examine our daily rituals, our daily routines, and see how we can glorify you through all that we do. Your Bible clearly teaches us that whatsoever we can do in a way that glorifies you. I pray that you would help us to do that. Help us not to forget that you are our God, worthy of all our glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.